We right now are joined by an NFL and CBS analyst. He is also an NFL Network analyst. He is a Madden analyst. He is Charles Davis. Charles, great to have you back. How are you, my man?
I'm doing great, Jim. It's good to hear your voice. Hope everyone's doing well in your world.
You too. Great to hear your voice. Hope you all are doing great, too. So you were on the call for New England at Buffalo Saturday night. Before we get to the game, I know you love your job. I know you want to be there badly. You're never, ever going to complain about the weather. But, Charles, how cold was it there?
Jim, you understand. You get it, right?
Man.
We have to follow the same script as anyone who's playing, right? You'll never get players complaining. You'll never get – look, Bud Grant ruined it for everyone, didn't he? With the Vikings back in the 70s.
That's it.
No heaters, no anything. And then Bud Grant came rolling out for that Seattle playoff game just wearing a polo. I mean, that's the toughest man I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
So if he can do that, we can't complain. All right, forget it. I'm complaining. It was cold, Jim.
Dude, it was. It had to be.
Flat out cold. Now, the beauty is our booth guys – Jose and Don did a fantastic job helping us with heat. Evan Washburn, our colleague on the sidelines, he's the one who gets the MVP because he had to do it without all of that stuff, although he did sneak some of that chicken broth that the Bills had going. So I got to give him credit for having an inside hookup. But, yeah, it was darn cold. I mean, 6 degrees at kickoff and, you know, minus whatever when you ended it in the wind chill. But, you know, we did the job, and let's face it, Jim, if they told us we couldn't be there, we'd probably be upset over that, too.
No doubt about it. And you guys did a great job, and everybody involved. Charles Davis joining us. So there had been so much talk going into the game about Josh Allen's stats in cold weather, even a suggestion from Bart Scott about what he might do to enhance his performance. What do you make of the way Allen played on Saturday night, both in passing and running and leading that team from the front?
Pick your adjective, and whatever it is, probably wasn't enough. He did it all in that ball game. That team wanted him to do it all, meaning they were there in full support. Whatever you need, big fella, you lead, we'll be there for it. But he put the performance out there first. Now, what was beautiful was Ian Eagle, my partner, nailed it on the first touchdown. Remember the play that lasted about almost 10 seconds?
Right.
You know, when he ran around and he threw it in the back? I thought he threw it up there to give Dawson Knox an opportunity. He was just throwing it away, and Ian nailed it. And Dawson went up and got it. That might have been the only real ball that was kind of in question for him. And if you call that in question, no big deal. It was going to be thrown away, no harm, no foul. The rest of it, he was masterful. Full control, ball where it was supposed to be, and then his running ability, which I think keeps getting better and better. And he makes people make business decisions downfield. That's 240 pounds coming, okay? He can not only juke, he'll drop the shoulder on you and surprise you a little bit. And it increased the emphasis and the force on that. He was exceptional. The team was exceptional. They were locked in. But let me just say this, Jim. The play of the night, which I think turned everything, was Micah Hyde pulling a Willie Mays, a Ken Griffey, a Gary Pettis, that interception on the first drive of New England. Because that was a really well-thrown ball by Mac Jones. He made that play. They go down and score. It's 14-zip. And what does New England try to avoid and need to avoid? A track meet. Guess what? They fired the starter's pistol. They can't keep up now.
So glad you brought that up. I was going to bring that up next. I agree with you. I thought that, and he's coming on the show, Charles, in about an hour. Micah Hyde, what a great, great play that was. And the fact that that INT also led to a subsequent touchdown. We knew the Patriots were not going to play well from behind, and then they didn't, and it kept getting worse and worse. In fact, once Buffalo got up and then just kept on rolling, what was the atmosphere like in that stadium, and how much were the Bills fans enjoying the fact that their team was just clobbering Belichick and the Pats?
Yeah, they were enjoying the heck out of it. They came with that whole idea that that's what was going to go down. And when you talk with Micah, I believe he was a baseball player, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he and Jordan Poyer, I always get it mixed up. Might want to check on that, have your guys check on that with Jim. But one of them was drafted by the Marlins. And sometimes I get it mixed up. But if he's the one, you can see where the baseball came into play. As far as the fans, they came for the coronation. But they also came with trepidation. It's still New England. They knew they were the better team. They knew they had the better roster. They felt like the loss in game one at home in the wind was a little bit of a fluke. But it's still New England, right? It's still Bill Belichick. I said before the game, the dragon they still have to slay is New England, even though they're defending two-time defending AFC East champs. They have to show the world they can handle that at the highest level. And they did in a big way. And then, as you noted, the celebration really went on and on and on. And there was an increased emphasis because you ask any Buffalo player, you ask any Buffalo coach, they say when they're out in town, when they're around, New England is always the first team that's mentioned to them.
Charles Davis joining us. I'm not sure that celebration's even ended just yet, but they took care. They took care of that dragon. Now, what about the other one that still awaits them? I mean, it's unlikely, Charles, that Buffalo is going to score touchdowns on seven straight possessions against Kansas City. I'm curious, what are your early, and I know it's early, but what are your early thoughts on this Buffalo team and how they match up with KC on Sunday?
I think they match up well, and it's not just going back to the game they played during the season, because that one might be a little bit of a false positive, because that was when Kansas City was struggling, remember? That was in the midst of them coming out of the gate 3-4, okay, before they caught their stride and got everyone back on defense, et cetera. But the way Buffalo's playing, there can't be anyone more confident, and I don't think there's anyone quite as complete as what I'm seeing from Buffalo right now. Number one defense, hot offense, and you're right. There's no chance they go 7-for-7 again. But they're going to put the pressure on you enough that most of the time when you play Kansas City, you're thinking to yourself, you have to do extra things on offense in order to keep up with Mahomes. In this game, Buffalo's not worried about that. They think they already do those things. They're wondering if they can get the jump and make Mahomes and Kansas City be the team, they may have to continue to do some extras in order to keep up with them. So this is where it's going to be fun. Defenses are both playing pretty well, pretty high level. Buffalo's ranked higher, obviously. But Kansas City, I think what it comes down to, Jim, is not just playing well on defense, but can you get those key takeaways? And that's where Kansas City's really opportunistic. Let's see if Buffalo is as opportunistic, and they have been through the year. They'll need to be in this ballgame. But I don't think they go into Kansas City with any fear at all. I think they feel like they're the big dog. And they're just out to prove it now.
Can't wait. It's going to be a fascinating matchup. Charles Davis joining us. Before I let you go, I've got to ask you about the other AFC game of the divisional round, Cincinnati at Tennessee, Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. I mean, you saw our guy Boomer. He was fired up, understandably so. It had been 31 years, Charles. How significant was that playoff win over the Raiders for the Bengals organization as a whole and for that fan base, too?
I think when you see Zach Taylor out at the local bar, giving a game ball to the Cincinnati fans as a whole, to me that tells me that this is a coaching staff, a team, an organization fully in touch with their fan base needed from them. Not just the win, which they provided, obviously, but to acknowledge it with their people. That's one of the smarter things I've seen in sports, to understand this, let everybody know it meant everything. Because this group's been a while. And look, everyone keeps talking about Marvin Lewis and, oh, they never won a playoff game. They had opportunities. People keep forgetting at one point that run that they had, that was one of the better teams in the league for a 6-7 year span. And then they didn't get over the hump, and that drove people crazy. But they were there. Now they finally got over. They're looking forward to doing more. But I just love what they did with the fans, acknowledging them, acknowledging the city, and everyone who represents Cincinnati and cares about the Bengals. I thought that was a really smart move.
And then, Charles, finally, like, Joe Burrow is, to me, he is so exceptional. This kid, to me, is just so special. I mean, not even two full seasons in, already a significant injury, which he has overcome. You can just tell that whole locker room follows him, believes in him. In your opinion, how much of that it, or that performance on the field, is about the performance on the field, and then how much of that is just about swagger, attitude, preparation, mindset?
Yeah, it's a big portion of what you said, the latter part, Jim. Because this kid has seen it and visualized it and lived it and trained it from the word go. You know, when other people were saying, he's a third-day quarterback, he never saw himself that way. He never allowed himself to feel that way. So he's been there. You know, I've comped him to Wayne Gretzky. And people are like, what do you mean by Gretzky? I said, well, Walter Gretzky used to train Wayne to see plays before they happened, to see a play two or three passes beyond that first pass, to go where the puck would end up, not where the puck was going. To me, that's Joe Burrow. He sees things before they happen. He sees things two or three plays down the road. He sees where the receiver should end up and puts the ball there instead of where he is at that moment. And the second part, he's Ray Donovan, man. He's a straight-up killer. Right. I mean, he's just a straight stone assassin. And by the way, I think he'd put a little grin on his face if he heard that.
It made me chuckle. I think that's funny. Like, you just compared a guy to both Wayne Gretzky and Ray Donovan. I mean, two guys who could not be more different, but it's accurate because you're right. I think the guy does see things that nobody else sees. He sees things before they happen, but he is cold-blooded. He's an assassin. He's a killer.
A straight-up assassin. And by the way, the second part of the money that you got to put in the account, because you got to put money in the account to get the hit initiated, right? The second part is upon completion. When he tells you the job's done, that money better be in the account or he'll come for you.
Man, I can't wait to see it. It's going to be unbelievable. Really quickly, I've got about 90 seconds. What about the Titans? Do you feel like they're not getting the respect of either even Kansas City or Buffalo, not from them, but of them? And how fair is that? Are people sleeping on the top seed?
Absolutely, they're sleeping. 91 players used on the year, Jim, and they're the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, that's great. I know even in COVID time, that's crazy. I think Mike Vrabel is going to win Coach of the Year, and he should win Coach of the Year because he manipulated a roster like that. And he lost key guys throughout the year, and we could go on and on about who they were. They found a way. They got better on defense when they needed to this year. They were able to get it done with a running game without Derrick Henry. Did anyone have Deontay Foreman running the way he ran down the stretch?
No chance.
But they did it. And so, yes, people are sleeping on them. But I think the big guy will be back for this ball game. Let's see where they go. Julio came back. He's healthy. A.J. Brown healthy. We're starting to see a better form of this Tennessee Titans team. This is going to be fun. And don't think for a second Mike Vrabel is not letting his team know that everyone's talking about everyone else but the number one team out there. Okay? He's going to use that. Look, Jim, he'll use this at this one. Jim and Tony are going to Kansas City Buffalo. He's getting Ian Eagle and myself. He may not disrespect us, but he'll let his team know the number one team's not getting the number one broadcast team.
Yeah,
you know,
I think you bet.
He will use it to the nth degree.
He is the NFL and CBS analyst and NFL Network analyst, a Madden analyst, a friend of the program, and we just got a whole lot done. Charles, you're the best. Appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Take care now.
You be good. Charles Davis, that's how you do it.